Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to talk about a subject that's dear to everybody's hearts, even when they're not even beating anymore, because it's all about death, actually. What happens when we die? And how can we understand it in ways that help us live with it better? It's hard to live with death, and we want to do a better job to take the angst off it as much as possible and actually even be helpful to others because we understand it better. So to help us do that, I read this wonderful book called What Happens When We Die? It's a psychic's exploration of death, heaven, and the soul's journey after death, too. And I'm speaking with the author of the book, Echo Bodine. Echo, welcome.
Good morning, Peter.
So glad that you could be on Energy Stew.
Yes, me too.
Oh, good. This is an important subject. I've done a lot of shows with mediums and with astral travelers, and so I think the audience has some understanding, and I was very glad to get your understandings, too, because you have your own experiences and your own purposes in this life that other people don't have.
Yes.
And so we all can learn from each other. Now, you are a psychic, an intuitive, and a medium.
Mm-hmm.
I am as well. And I often say to people, well, I follow the dead around.
Hey, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. And they look at me cross-eyed. And
I'm sure they do.
And then when I come up with the stories of what happens when I follow the dead around, they're very happy to hear what I see, what I know, how I help them, how I help others. And so you do this even more exclusively than I do. You're also a healer, and you work with people in other ways. I'm an intuitive counselor, healer, so it's not always that I'm involved with the dead. And you have, at least in your book, there's so many experiences you've had that can help us understand the process. Mm-hmm. So where do we want to start? Let's see. How about as people are dying?
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, that helps us all. You know, it's that stage for most people when we're facing the death of a loved one, that we get confused, upset. Certainly, grief is there, and you talk about that a lot in the book, and that's very helpful to understand our grief. And knowing as much as we can know about it doesn't mean that we're happy that our loved ones can move on, because they're going to move on without us.
Right.
And so a lot of us don't have the understandings of death and what that means, so we get desperate.
That's right.
So can you elaborate on that?
Oh, Peter, oh my goodness, where to start?
I know. Let's just say that, put ourselves in a position where, let's say, there's a loved one who we really don't want to lose. And a lot of people, you know, they go to the utmost lengths to hold on to bodies and souls that are really ready to go.
That's right. I know it. Which is really sad, you know. Oh, my gosh. I remember I had a client who, she was so desperate for her mom not to die. And she brought her mom to me for healings. And, I mean, the poor woman literally could barely walk. She had absolutely no energy at all. And her daughter said to me, you know, I can't live without my mom. I can't. And she was so upset. And I just felt so bad for her mom. And finally, her mom did die, and the woman just went into a full-blown, really heavy-duty depression. And that's just, you know, that, oh, my goodness.
Yes, but you've had your grief about your mother, too. So
yes.
Let's understand them in the light of how you dealt with it versus how she dealt with it.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, I feel really blessed to have had the experiences that I've had, and to with mom, you know, my mom was a very, very good psychic, and so she also had a lot of information about the other side and about the dying process, and so we, you know, Peter, we were lucky. We talked about, you know, mom, how do you feel about what's going on? And I asked her just, you know, questions like, tell me more about your life. Tell me about the things I don't know. Do you have regrets? Are you ready? How do you feel about going over to the other side? And, you know, Peter, I think that that was probably the best way to handle it. Instead of pretending that this wasn't happening.
Or that it couldn't happen.
Yeah, or that it couldn't happen. That's right. We just, you know, my mom, interesting as she was, when we first started talking about it, she said, I don't want to talk about it. And it was like, if I don't talk about it, then it won't happen. And then as she got sicker, then her body, I just noticed there was a change in her, like she was surrendering to the whole idea of dying. And so it felt like my job was to talk about that rather than keep saying, oh, mom, you're going to be fine. You're going to pull through this. Oh, mom, it's going to be fine. It was really important to just say, okay, mom, so you're getting closer, and now you're in hospice, and so let's talk. Let's really talk, mom. And we did. We had great conversations about her life and about her thoughts about going on to the other side. And, you know, Peter, I wish everybody could be like that with each other, really talk about, you know, what do you think the other side is like, and, you know, what do you think I'm going to do every day?
And they could read about it from people who have had NDEs, near-death experiences, and other experiences, and you and I have also had experiences where we've talked with the dead and understand what they're doing and where they are. And you mm-hmm. even had that one experience where after Michael Jackson died, you saw him sitting with Elvis.
Yes. That was so cool. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Peter, I just didn't expect that. And I just thought, well, I'm going to check in on him and see how he's doing. And, you know, I was really pleasantly surprised to see that he was okay with it. His soul was prepared for death and knew it was coming, and he was sitting. He and Elvis, I saw them sitting in an outside setting, just sitting talking, and about, I don't know, they had a lot of things in common, including Lisa Marie, and there was such a calmness in Jackson, and I was so glad to see that. Yeah, it was really nice.
Well, and that's true for a lot of people. Once we die and all of a sudden we realize we're not dead.
Yep.
That we're out there, and there could be a lot of grief. Certainly, mm-hmm. I had some family members who were killed in a car crash, and they stayed around for a long time because they were in such grief. And I told them afterwards, after the accident, I said, look, you know, I know that you need to grieve this, so don't go anywhere if you don't feel like it. You know,
yeah.
You don't need to go to another dimension. If
yep.
you need to be with your family, to, you know, we all need to grieve this together.
Yep.
And then it turned out that they stayed around because a couple of months later, I had somebody call me, ask me how they were doing, and I said, I haven't checked, but let me check. And they were still around. And
I said,
well, what's going on? And I was told, well, the mother wants to go, but the daughter wants to wait another week. And so this person on the phone said, do you know why? I said, no. He said, because her high school is having a big memorial for her in a week from now.
Oh.
So then they were ready. But a lot of times people can come on, go out and come back for their funerals, as you know. And I often see people at their funerals. Recently, there was a funeral with a guy who always sat in the front middle seat when mm-hmm. he was alive. But at his funeral, he was standing at the back door. He didn't want to come in. That was kind of interesting.
Yes, that is interesting.
Yeah. So, but we learn so much when you and I certainly have learned so much from our experiences. And there are a lot of people like us out there who are really capable of these interactions and communications.
Yes, yes.
And people should seek those people out.
Mm-hmm.
I know some. I had a medium on the show early last year who was booked for 2 years straight because so many people wanted information from their loved ones.
That's right. My sister is she's a really good medium, and since the book has come out, she's been just swamped, which I think is excellent because people are realizing, you know, people that normally, I don't know if that's the right word, but people who have been raised to believe that it's not right to communicate with the deceased or that it's not possible, you know, it's becoming more and more mainstream, and I think the TV show The Long Island Medium has done a lot to, even though I don't really, I don't think that the way she does it is right, but it's brought mediumship to people's attention much more. And so I think it's good, because what I'm seeing with it is it isn't that people keep going to the medium every week to, you know, just keep having that conversation with their deceased loved one, but it's bringing closure for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's really important, because then those of us on this side can get on with our lives, and the people on the other side can get on with their lives. And
But it's lost expectations. You know, it's when children die, you know, adults really, parents, family have expectations for them to grow up in this world and to live a full life, and then they die early.
Yep.
And we feel like they were cheated and we were cheated.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the truth about that?
Well, you know, Peter, really, if the soul of that child wanted to live longer, they would have lived longer, but they came in for a short amount of time. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is that, you know, when we give birth to a child, there is no guarantee that that person is going to live well into their 90s and live a full productive life. I mean, when we have children, we have them for as long as they're meant to be here. And it isn't, you know, I just always feel so bad for parents who lose children, because, you know, you go to the funeral and the minister says, well, you know, God wanted them home with him. And
wait a second. Let's stop right there.
Okay.
That's an atrocity.
I know
God
it is.
God should be arrested and jailed.
Yeah.
You don't kidnap. That's not an excuse to kidnap a child.
I totally agree with you. I think it's terrible that they say that. I mean, how can these people turn to God for comfort when
God wants to steal their children from them?
Exactly.
Because he's more important than they are.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I just think that's just a horrible thing to say to people who are in grief. But that's what I hear. That's what I hear all the time. Or, well, your child has gone on to a better place. Okay, you and I know that, Peter. But that doesn't, to a lot of people, it's like, what does that even mean?
But we also know that that child came into life knowing the short lifespan that...
Yeah, the soul knows. The child isn't, you know, conscious of it, as you know, but the soul knows that, no, I want to go in and I want to live for 6 years and I want to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And the family will learn a lot from my death, and the soul feels happy about the fact that it accomplished what it wanted to. But
yeah, but the grief of the grief side is to me where the karma is.
Yeah.
That's where the struggle is, because we feel broken when we lose people who we expect to be with us for a long time.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we do feel broken. That's a good way to say it. I like that.
And I don't know, you know, it's not a great thing for children to say, okay, I'm going to be born, I'm only going to live 4 or 5 years, and I'm going to leave because I've served my purpose. Yeah, the purpose might be that there's some great karma that the parents need to experience. And, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, but that's...
Yeah, I know, something. I know. But, you know, like the mom or the dad, somebody in the family may end up being a grief counselor, or there's usually, if people look for the good, of what could possibly, what did come out of that death, or what could come from it. Like an old psychic used to say to me, turn your scars into stars. It's like if people can look at it from the perspective of, okay, what is the good that I can take from this death and help mankind, womankind, humankind, then I think that they, you know, I believe that they heal a lot faster. But it's when they stay so stuck in that grief of, you know, my child is never going to go to prom, they're never going to get married, they're never going to ride a bike. It's like, well, if those things were that important to that soul, they would still be here, and they would have ridden that bike and gone to prom and gotten married. So, you know, I wish people could just look at it from that perspective instead of the time that they did have with that child and how wonderful it was.
Right. Everything is in divine order. We just don't understand the order.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Another thing I like to say is that we come to this planet for the struggle. We don't come here for heaven on earth. We actually come here to grow our light through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And if people could just back up and understand that, so many of the ways we handle life can be smarter, stronger, more purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
To tackle adversity and understand, yes, I'm given this suffering, this pain, but it's because through that I build the greater love and compassion in the universe. My light is stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the universe grows from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can see ourselves as just people who are here to enhance the universe through our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to hold that, but it really is true. And we've had astral travelers on the show who've talked about it, and they'll be back soon. And because once you're out there, and that's true for people who die, once they get out there, it's not like they can be, as you say in the book, it's not like they become angels.
Mm-hmm.
They still have their personalities that they lived here with,
yep.
But they're in a much more comfortable environment. There's no reason to have fear because you can't die again.
Mm-hmm.
and you can't, there's no lack out there. You can have all that you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a beautiful, blissful environment. So mm-hmm. It's easier out there than here.
That's right.
And then we go from the struggle here to healing it out there also. And as you talk about in the book, there are so many healers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the ways that you have had your experiences. And I like that the slide metaphor that you use when you watch
people
die.
Yeah, that's pretty
die.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is.
Well,
I mean, I sure didn't create that. It just started showing up in pictures, you know, and psychic readings, or when someone would call and say, you know, do you think my daughter is sick, and, you know, is she going to be okay? And I'd either see a picture of her sitting on a fence or on a slide. And then after a while, Peter, it just became kind of like, you know, my symbol for, oh, this person is dying. Oh, this person's going to make it. Oh, this person doesn't know what to do. Yeah, it was cool.
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'll be given that metaphor, because as you know, we're given these things by our higher guidance and our higher self, and we work with these tools.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have different tools that we work with. So for you to have the fence and the slide as a tool to work with is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll ask my higher guidance to provide that.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's an exciting life to be you.
Oh.
It is. And
that's a sweet
and,
thing to say. Thank
well,
you.
and it's an authentic life too, because you really live it in all the ways that everyone else does too. You know, when people are people expect me and you to live differently, because we can know so much more.
Yeah, that's right.
And that, you know, we love it, but we take it for granted after a while, too, because it's life, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's just life.
Yeah.
Right. It's the way we live, and we would like other people to live that way. I'm sure you teach people how to do it. I have a school where people study with me, and it's wonderful to help other people do what we can do.
I know. I agree. Yeah, I teach them. As a matter of fact, after the show this morning, I'm going to head over to, I have a teaching center here in Minneapolis, and I've got a class on Tuesdays that it's a 16-week class that teaches people psychic development. But it's not just psychic development. It's, you know, we talk about psychic abilities, but we also talk about, you know, reincarnation and astral projection and, life after death. And it's pretty cool. I like it. It's fun to watch people, you know, it's fun to watch that little light bulb go on over their head and they go, wow, that's what that means. Or, oh, I've had that experience. Or, you know, it's fun to provide a place for people to be able to come and share what's happening to them psychically and spiritually, and find out that they're not alone on this journey. Because so many people, you know, I mean, Peter, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I mean, I've been doing this for, oh my God, almost 50 years, which is really scary. And there's been such a change between what it was like, you know, 47 years ago and what it's like now. People are coming out of the closet more and more and more and more all the time with their spiritual experiences and their psychic experiences, and I love it. Yeah. I love it when people come and they want to understand all of this.
I know. It's really important going forward, too, because as we move more into the future of evolutionary speaking, it's about opening up, awakening, and so
yep.
many more people are going to be awakening. And,
yep.
And in that awakeness, they need your experience and my experience to know how to live that way better.
Mm-hmm.
How to understand it, because it's a learning process. We there's so much information on all different dimensions that we just can't know everything. We no matter how awake we are, we're all on our own paths, learning as we go.
Yep, that's right.
And so there's a great future, and you're somebody who will be more and more in demand, I'm sure, as more people awaken and realize they have to know more about this.
Yep, these are exciting times as far as people being spiritually wakened up. I like it. I like it a lot.
And at the same time, let's look at who we are, because I keep asking questions of the universe about how our identities live eternally when we really have only created them for now, for this lifetime, and for some time after, when we still have family, you know, the grandchildren maybe that who even would know us, or great grandchildren who wouldn't probably know us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to them. We're from the past.
Right.
So after we die and we're souls out there, how important is it for you to be Echo, or me to be Peter, out there for how long? Because we do take on another lifetime, but yet we still have all of our previous lifetimes that still exist.
Mm-hmm.
But at what level of importance in the eternal nature of life is this particular identity?
Oof. Boy. Well, isn't that a good question? Holy smokes.
Well, we don't know. You know, I think that our higher self is really the identity that we are in the universe, holding all of our lifetime identities. I once had a hypnotic regression out there where I was sitting with my higher self, eyeball to eyeball.
Okay.
And that was strange. But then again, our higher selves, when they introduce themselves to us, they take on a persona that only meets what we think our higher self should look like.
Because
they can look like anything. They can look like any of our past lifetimes or any heavenly body.
Yep.
But it's there to inform us about our true nature.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure, you know, you certainly are somebody who's had a gazillion lifetimes and and we all are going to have more lifetimes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Peter, in one of my books, it's called Echoes of the Soul, I talk about that I had seen JFK one time. I was doing a reading, and I saw him, and I asked him, I said, so how long are you going to be JFK before you let that go and come in and have a new life? And he said that he is one of the people that people ask to meet when they get over to the other side. And he said, when people stop asking to meet me, then I'll come back into a new lifetime.
Very interesting. And
yes.
Yet he doesn't give up JFK out there. It's just that there's not as much purpose in that when he's already living a new lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that our identities persist eternally, but
mm-hmm.
they're not so important. They kind of meld into our higher self and eventually are forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the awareness of who we are keeps pursuing itself into future lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into really deep stuff here, and we only have a few minutes left. And there's so much information in your book that people really need to pick it up. What Happens When We Die is the name of the book, because you cover a lot of different subject matters, and
mm-hmm.
I agree with everything in your book. I know that you're coming from an authentic place, because I've been there myself,
mm-hmm.
and it's agreement that really helps us believe in ourselves too,
mm-hmm.
because there was a long time when I was so alone with what I do, and it was like, I just need more people to, to know what they know, agreeing with what I know, so that I can feel more grounded about it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Michael Newton's books I had them sitting by my bedside for a while, just because it was so home to me.
And yes, yes.
He's the author of books about life between lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have actually a couple minutes left, and you're in Minneapolis.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
And your name is Echo, Echo,
mm-hmm.
Bodine, Bodine.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a website, right?
I do. It's echobodine.com.
Oh, that's easy.
And there's lots of fun things there for people to check out. One thing that comes to mind right away, if there are people out there who are dealing with grief, if you go to my website, you'll see a link on the homepage that says Healing Pen Pals. And that's a free program that I have here where if people need healing for, physical things, emotional, mental, they can click on that link and then give us their name, the city they work in, city they live in, and what they would like healing for. And then we assign a healer to them that sends them healing every day for 2 weeks. And all we ask from people is that they let us know how they're doing after the two-week period. So if there are people who are really struggling and need some healing, please feel free to go to the website, echobodine.com, and click on that link. Again, it's called Healing Pen Pals, and it's very simple, and it is free. And, Peter, you should see the responses we get from people. It is unbelievable, the responses of, cancer going into remission, people people in severe depression coming out of it. I mean, it's amazing.
That's great. And I'm so glad that you're doing that. So let's get people to that program.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I want to catch up with you. I have a free healing program that people are getting a lot out of also. And
oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to offer things to people who need it.
Good.
And Bodine, Echo Bodine, What Happens When We Die, A Psychic's Exploration of Death, Heaven, and the Soul's Journey After Death. Thank you so much for being a guest on Energy
Thank
Stew.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Peter.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots going on, classes, all kinds of things happening. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.